So anyhow, our first guest this morning is someone that really makes you think about things. The Cusp of Dreams presents a brutalizing and demeaning struggle for survival with men and women in an age of decline. Fiction that's animal, I can't even speak this morning, Rick, that tumbled down the economic ladder and is not true today. You know, Diana, I don't know quite what you mean by that, but I want to welcome you to our show this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Catherine?
I'm, you know, a little tired this morning, I think. Not one of my better days. Stayed up too late or something, I don't know. But anyhow, tell me, you were, you're a PhD. You were a professor, am I correct?
I have an academic affiliation. You know, I'm a writer. I try to hide out in my office in my house, but I have taught at the university. That's correct.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, most writers tend to hide away. I don't know why, but they do. Tell me how you got into writing to start off with, because I always like to ask writers that.
Okay.
Why and how?
Well, my story is maybe a little bit different than most writers of fiction. The reason I felt compelled to go into writing, I always loved books. My mother just read all the time. Reading really profoundly changed my life, and fiction really became my way of understanding the world. And the reason I decided to write fiction is I was in the corporate world for 12 years, and the process of watching people when they did not have a living wage, how they behaved, how they lied, how they stole, it became really fascinating to me. And this was a story that I really felt someone needed to tell. We had Death of a Salesman, which is about one personal failure by Arthur Miller, the play. And then we had David Mamet's Glengarry Glen Ross, which was made into the film. Both of them won Pulitzers. But women weren't in that discussion about the brutalizing effects of sales and trying to survive. And so I wanted to write about, you know, a contemporary story that would look at what happens when women become like men and jobs become very, very difficult to get.
Well, you know, it's funny because there's so many women, including myself, that were in male-oriented industries. And to say that it was tough to get there, it was, and
right.
It still is.
Right.
And, you know, being in the car industry, I was in the car industry about 13 years.
Wow, that's a long time in the car industry.
Right. And not only in sales and PR, but also in leasing, which is probably the meanest that I think, especially for women when they were first in the beginning of that industry.
Right.
And I remember somebody manhandled me one time. It actually hurt me physically.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he just told me to basically to keep my mouth quiet.
Right.
And I didn't. So, you know, because I wouldn't take it, you know. And then being in the finance industry when I was the first female rep.
Yep.
That was a tough one.
Yep.
Because I had to travel.
Yep.
And had two little kids and was divorced. So that made it even tougher. So I think that, you know, in the world of employment, you know, it's I treat people the same way no matter if they're a female or a male. And I think sometimes we tend to, as females, and you may or may not agree with me on this, I've belonged to women's organizations, and I mean, they'll pat you on the back, but as far as referring you, I got to tell you something. I'd rather be with a man in a group situation.
I think a lot of women actually feel that way.
I don't get that. I mean, you know, we as women should kind of stick together, but we don't.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's part of what you're talking about, in a sense. You know, what do you mean by the feminization of Western literature?
Well,
what do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is that, with the fiction that I grew up gave me a window to the world. It was about real events out there, and it allowed me to understand what was happening. The literary novel today which is, you know, not a novel that's a crime novel or something. It really has become this interior journey of the self, and you're mostly inside that person's mind. And the literary novel has become very feminized. It's entirely concerned about self. It's removed from the world. By feminized, I mean it's concerned really only with portraying the individual as being concerned with social justice and fairness and kindness. And I just don't think that that's the world. I think the world is a tough world out there, that people struggle and they have to get up and dust themselves off and they have to get up again. And that's really what the world is about. But literary fiction is not about that, and it's been literally killing the novel. And so that's really why I set up my website, Literary Gulag, was to have some essays on literature and politics about why the novel has died and what needs to be done to revitalize it.
Well, you know, I think the media has really caused a lot of problems for the literary world. Okay, and we talked about this prior to the show. Everything today is either visual or audio.
Yes.
And people have just given up reading.
Yes.
And unless it's on a computer.
Yep.
Or an iPod or something like that. And people don't realize the importance of literature.
No, and it requires, you know, that you take time alone, a long period of time to really sit down and read something slowly. And we're running, you know, people are so frenetic. They've got so many things they're juggling. And it's becoming almost a lost art, I'm afraid.
Well, you know, one of the things I told you about is that we've started a new television network, which I think is going to bring people back, you know, in a sense.
Right.
Because it's mind, body, and spirit. And, you know, it's really funny. This past week, I took some time, actually, for Catherine.
Okay, good for you.
And yesterday, I spent a whole day. You know, I still get people contacting me, but I don't think we take that time. We feel guilty, Diana.
Yep, I think reading demands that time. I mean, obviously, the great thing about an audio book is that you can listen to it while you're exercising or even cooking or something like that.
Or driving.
And a lot of people are, you know, driving long distances to work. When I was working in corporate sales, I was typically doing 3 hours of commuting a day. So, you know, I think that's really been lost. But what I'm trying to do in my novel, The Cuspid Dream, is look what happens at a society where work is really becoming very, very treacherous and people have to struggle very, very hard to keep their jobs. And how does that impact the society? So these are stories about people who all work at one company. It's called Amtech. But it's really a collective story of a society struggling to survive. And so in order to make this bearable for the reader, I've put, there's comedy in there, but, you know, there's a great deal of pain as people are, you know, holding on, but really not, you know, and it's almost as if they're falling down the sides of the building. And you know, so it's a tough story, but I think a funny story, but it's also a story of what many people are facing today.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, unfortunately, you know, want to escape.
Yes.
They, you know, when you get laid off for the first time, it's a shock to your system.
Yep.
And then you're trying to collectively figure out, what am I going to do? I can't move, or I won't move, or I won't do this, or I won't do that. And we're going to have to take a short commercial break, and we'll be right back with Diana Sheets and her new book, The Cuspid Dream. We'll be right back on Catherine Raker's Let's Just Talk on Real Talk 1160. Right before the break, we were talking to Diana Steele about, you know, what it's like for someone who just loses their job and they need to really focus in on, you know, what's going to happen to me and what's going to happen to my family. And, you know, Diana, a lot of people out there today, because of everything that's going on in the government, don't see the light.
No, I know they don't. And it's, you know, I think let's hope that economically things are finally beginning to pick up. But what worries me is that if we simply make this about a government intervention and we no longer offer something that's distinctive or new in the marketplace, we're going to have a tough time. And unfortunately, I think we're entering a new period, and people are going to have to be a lot more resilient if they want to, help themselves and their families overcome some of this.
You know, one of the things that I think with your website and everything that you do is you can help authors. I mean, seriously, because, there's a lot of authors out there, number one, that are self-published, okay?
Yes.
And in the literary world, it's really created a real mess for authors.
Oh, it really has.
And it's really today's, self-marketing. Because publishers, even the big ones, don't really want to help authors. There's only two books in every store. Some things, if you don't get a release, they're not going to let you do some things. There are scams out there for self-published authors.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really kind of a mess. And somebody needs to clean it up and get people interested in reading again, number one. And not everything that's audio and visual. And we need to get people to start relaxing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it sounds wonderful. I hope you can find that magic pill that will restore that sense of well-being. I don't know. The publishing industry has very narrow margins for profitability, and we have a population that really, ever since 2000 or 2001, 9/11 was the real threshold. They have been turning away from fiction. Men have been turning away from fiction for a long time because, as I said, the literary fiction is feminized, and if men read at all, they're reading to learn about the world, which means nonfiction or technical reading. And women have gone into fiction for a retreat against the world. And so it's no longer serving a purpose. And for the younger generation who's going on the Internet and living constantly in this moment-by-moment existence of me, this is what I'm doing, the novel is really just doesn't resonate with them. So I don't, I think fiction has a tremendous challenge in terms of how it's going to remain relevant in the 21st century.
Well, kids do it online,
yep.
And that's why there's Kindle, and that's why there's audiobooks, and sometimes I think even with an audiobook, you can really get your message across, because some of the most successful books, like The Secret, like a lot of books out there today that are on audio, are making people want to read again. I mean, it's like kids. If they see it on television or they see it, they want to see the actual physical book because they see that book. Okay?
I hope so.
It's funny because I represent some authors, and actually I sent the audiobook, and then they asked me for the actual book.
Yep.
So there is hope. I always believe. I used to be a librarian, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I really love books.
Yeah, so do I. And the smell. I mean, every time I go into a library, especially the University of Illinois has a very, very, one of the best libraries in terms, especially collections before, I don't know, the 60s or 70s. And I just love the smell. I just love going into libraries. They're terrific. And just running across the shelves looking at the books.
I think the classics that, you and I grew up with are really important. But, Diana, let me ask you, where can people buy your book?
Okay. They can go to my website, which is Literary Gulag, and click on the Cusp of Dreams, the picture image, and that will take them to Lulu, or they can go Diana Sheets' storefront at Lulu. If you just do Diana Sheets' storefront, it will bring you to Lulu, or you can go to my website and click on the book. So the soft cover is available at Lulu, and it will soon be available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. I have a Kindle copy, so if you want to go to Amazon, you can get it. Actually, it costs less than the soft cover book. And I'm about to have an iPub book, which will be available for the new Apple iPad. That will be coming out shortly. But right now, available the Kindle at Amazon and at Lulu.com if you look at Diana Sheets' storefront. Or go to my website, because you can read selections of the novel, and you can also look at some of my essays on why fiction has died.
Okay, and give your website one more time.
Okay. Literary gulag. So think of Solzhenitsyn's gulag, and I'm basically saying that I'm in this gulag because you're no longer allowed to write about the world. So it's called literary gulag.
All right. Thank you so very much for coming on our show this morning.
It really was a pleasure.
And
Catherine,
we really wish you the best of luck in your endeavors.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.